Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvachim Daf Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we open up Maseches Zvachim, we are also opening up the fifth Seder of the Shas, Seder Kochim. For many of us, Seder Kochim represents a realm that we have less familiarity with than the other parts of Shas, with the exception, of course, of Seder Taras. A great deal of background before embarking on the study of Seder Kochim would be very helpful. That can be achieved by studying the Mishnayos and, of course, the Psukim in the Torah, primarily those Psukim found in Sefer Vayikra. That's a general word of recommendation. As we focus in on the topic at hand, the beginning of Maseches Zvachim, a word or two of introduction is necessary. In processing a korban, there are four basic stages, procedures, until one achieves the atonement or the fulfillment in the case of those korbanos that are not necessarily designed for atonement purposes, but all korbanos, all animal korbanos, a four-legged animal. There's a separate category known as bird offerings, and there is also the realm of meal offerings. But for our immediate purposes, we'll be dealing with animal four-legged animal offerings, which includes cows and sheep, goats, etc. The four stages in the processing of a korban are known as shechita, the slaughtering; kabovas adam, the receiving of the blood immediately after the shechita; the hoilocha, the carrying of the dam, and at times we'll refer to halochas evorim as well, the carrying of the blood from the shechita site to the mizbeach; and zrika, the sprinkling of the dam, or sometimes the pouring of the dam, on the different locations of the mizbeach, as is dictated by the specific korban that one is dealing with. So once again, shechita, kabbalah, hoilocha, and zrika. Another important facet in offering korbanos is that one has the proper mindset, that his mind is fixed or concentrating on the specific korban that he is processing, and that he should not be thinking about a different korban while he is working on this particular korban. And he should also have in mind the kohen who is processing the korban, because after shechita, the subsequent stages, kabbalah, hoilocha, and zrika, necessitate a kohen. Shechita, it is true, is kosher bazaar, but it's important that while the korban is being processed, the identity of the korban and the owner of the korban as well, the party who needs kapora, who requires the atonement that the korban affords, it is important that the one who is processing the korban has the owner in mind. Let us now turn to the Mishnah. Kol hazvochim shenizbechu shelo lishmon. All sacrifices that, if they are slaughtered without the specific identity of the korban in mind, in other words, he has a different korban in mind, ksherim, the korban will be acceptable. Elo shelo olu lebailim l'shem chovo. However, the owner who had taken upon himself the obligation to bring a specific korban, since the korban was processed with another korban in mind, the owner will not have fulfilled his obligation, and he will have to bring an additional korban in order to fulfill his original obligation. Now, this idea that korbanos are kosher, even if they're done shelo lishmon, what do we mean by kosher? It means that the korban, even though it was slaughtered, let us say, with the wrong mindset in terms of identity of korban, nevertheless the subsequent procedures can continue and the meat can be eaten in the event that it's a consumption type korban. There is of course the korban oila, which is completely burnt on the mizbeach, but that too, if an oila was done shelo lishma, so you would continue the subsequent processes. If it was slaughtered shelo lishma, you would continue the processing of the korban and then offer the meat of the animal of the korban on the mizbeach. Chutz min haPesach veChatos. There are two exceptions that the Tanakhama mentions: a Pesach, a korban Pesach, and a korban Chatos. If they are done shelo lishma, they are considered posel, and everything stops, and the meat is taken out to be burnt as a ruined korban. The Mishnah delineates haPesach bizmanoi. This idea that a Pesach will be posel if it's done shelo lishma, that is true if you're dealing with the processing of a korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan. That's zmano, that is its ordained time. And v'hachatos b'chol zman. The korban chatos is not a calendar-related offering, so that whenever one brings a korban chatos, if it is done shelo lishma, if it is done without the proper mindset, in other words, the proper focus, then it is considered posel. Up till this point, we've focused on the shita of the Tanakhama. Before we go further, we can take note of our topic heading and structural note. In the outside margin, you see we have a nosei and mivneh. And the mivneh, the structure, features a diamond, which we already encountered at the beginning of the Mishnah, whereby we wrote a diamond in and wrote into the diamond the Tof Kuf Tanakhama. And on the side, we're indicating Deos Beinyon Zvicha Shelo Lishma. This Mishnah contains different opinions with regard to what happens when a korban is processed Shelo Lishma. So far, we've seen the Tanakhama, who says that Lo Lishma figures as a ruiner of the korban, a spoiler of the korban, if you're dealing with a Pesach and a Chatos, Pesach bizmano and Chatos at all times. Continuing in the Mishnah, we have a second opinion, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Af Ha'osham. We can see in the space to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara, a number 2 appears in a diamond, and in fact, when you scan the daf, you'll see 1, 2, 3, and 4. 4 opinions on this topic. So the second opinion is that of Rabbi Eliezer, who says an osham also will be posel if it's processed shelo lishma. The Mishnah goes over the 3 korbanos now under Rabbi Eliezer's name. 1. HaPesach bizmanoi. The Pesach, if done shelo lishma, is a total loss. It is posel if done on the 14th of Nisan shelo lishma. Number 2, v'hachatos, and 3, v'ha'osham, b'chol zman. At any time of the year that those are brought shelo lishma, they will be posel. And now, Rabbi Eliezer shares with us his reasoning. Omar Rabbi Eliezer, hachatos bo'o al-chait. The chatos is a sin-related korban, meaning it's brought for atonement purposes. V'ha'osham bo'o al-chait, and the osham also comes on the heels of the violation of a particular mitzvah. Ma chatos psulo shelo lishma, just like the chatos, everyone agrees, the Tanakhama primarily, who was the opinion that appeared before Rabbi Eliezer, he will say that it is unfit if it's done shelo lishma. So Rabbi Eliezer argues, af ha'osham posul shelo lishma. So to an osham, which is likewise a sin-related korban, it will be rendered unfit if done with the incorrect mindset. Rabbi Yossi ben Choni Omer, Hanishchotin l'shem Pesach u'l'shem Chatos Psulin. According to this opinion, any other korban that's shechted, that's slaughtered, let us say, on the 14th of Nisan, as if it were a Pesach. In other words, someone took a korban shlomim, or a korban oilo, and announced, I'm shechting this as if it were as a Pesach, and it's the 14th of Nisan. Or any other korban during the course of a year, and he shechts and any other korban, and he does it l'shem chatos, they will be posel. That's Yossi ben Choni, and his reasoning is just like the Pesach and Chatos, if done shelo lishma, are posel, so too, if you do other things l'shem Pesach and Chatos, they will be posel. A fourth opinion on this topic, Shimon Achi Azariah Omer, Shachton l'shem Gavoya Mehen Sherim, if one slaughters a sacrifice with a mindset of a different korban, but of a more of a higher nature, that's l'shem gavo, a higher or holier nature than the korban be at hand, that does not ruin it. They're sherim. In other words, let's take an example. If someone shechs a korban shlomim with a chatos in mind, now a chatos is categorized as Kodesh Kodoshim, the high level Kedusha, high level of holiness. A Shlomim is considered Kodshim Kalim, a common level or a lower level of sanctity. So that if one takes one processes a Korban that's in this lower sanctity level and has in mind a higher sanctity level Korban while processing the sacrifice, it's Kosher. However, L'shem Nomuch Mehen Psulin, if one slaughters a higher level sanctity korban with a lower one in mind, that will render it unfit. Ketzad, and here we have examples. Kodshei kodshim sheshochton l'shem kodshim kalim psulim. Those korbanos that fall in the category of kodshei kodshim, we can enumerate them: an osham, a chatos, an oila. Those are called kodshei kodshim, and he shechts them with a kodshim kalim mindset. That is posel. Kodshim kalim sheshochton l'shem kodshei kodshim ksherim. However, if one does the lower level sanctity korban with a higher sanctity level in mind, it's okay, it's kosher. And now for some more specific examples, Habachor, interesting to note, of course, that the examples that we'll see now are examples within the realm of Kodshim Kalim itself. There are different levels. Habachor v'hamaiser sheshochton l'shem shlomim. Now, Bechor and Meiser are, in fact, themselves Kodshim Kalim. If he shechts them with a mindset of Shlomim, that's okay. That's kosher. Ksherin. However, Shlomim, Sheshochton, L'shem Bechor, L'shem Meiser, if a person takes a Korban Shlomim and has in mind Bechor or Meiser, Psulin. Rashi points out, just a bit lower than this point in the Rashi commentary, L'shem nomuch mehem psulim legamri, completely unfit. Bechor u'maiser behema nemuchin mishlomim. A bechor, a firstborn male animal, and a tithed animal, the tenth of the new births of that particular year, one out of ten are set aside as maiser behema. Those animals, the Bechor and Meiser Behema, are Nemuchin Mishlomim, are considered on a lower level than a standard Korban Shlomim. The reason for this is that a standard Korban Shlomim requires Matan Arba, there's blood reaches the four sides of the Mizbeach, Smicha, the placing of the hands on the animal's head, Nesochim is an accompanying wine offering, Utnufas Chaza V'Shok, and the waving of the Chaza and Shok parts of the animal, which are parts of the animal that are eventually given to the Kohen. These four characteristics accompany or are part of a Korban Shlomim, and they are not the case in a Bechor and Meiser Behema. Hence, the Shlomim is considered of a higher level. The Gemara opens up with a question that deals with the language of the Mishnah. Lomo li lemisna elo shaloi olu. Why does the Mishnah use that phrasing? Lisni, it could have said instead, velo olu lebailin l'shem chova. Once again, the Mishnah says, elo shaloi olu lebailin l'shem chova. So instead of using an extra word, elo, shelo, the word elo, it could have simply said, Vilo olu lebailin l'shem chova. which is a shorter version. It's shorter by an entire word. We can leave out the word Ella and still convey the same idea. And it's pointed out, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Psachim that says that we, generally speaking, strive for brevity or conciseness, if possible. If I can convey an idea with the same level of clarity in a concise fashion, then we would opt for that as opposed to expressing things in an elaborate fashion. Hence, we are presented with this issue of why the Mishnah, or what did we gain by using the expression Elo Shelo instead of just saying Velo. Ha Kamash Malon. The following is what the Mishnah is conveying to us. Lebailim hu deloy olu l'shem chova. As far as the owner fulfilling his obligation, that is not achieved when it's done shelo lishma. Aval b'kedushasayu kaimi v'osir lishnui b'hu. Even though it was done shelo lishma, it nevertheless maintains its sanctity. And as far as further procedures are concerned, the subsequent processes that are necessary, namely, after the Shechita we mentioned is Kabbalah, Hodlach, and Zrika, the subsequent procedures that are necessary, one is not allowed, also the Shnei Bu, one is not allowed to continue with a changed mindset, with something other than the original Korban in mind. That's what's conveyed by the word Elo. In other words, Elo is sort of a limitation type thing, that the only thing that is lost by the korban being done shelo lishma, the only thing that's lost is that the owner does not fulfill his requirement. However, if that does not give license to continue the processing of the korban with a changed mindset. Uchid Rava, the Gemara continues, and this is based on Rava's teaching. The Amar Rava, Oila sheshachta shelo lishma, an Ola, korban Ola that was slaughtered with the incorrect mindset, Asur lizroik doma shelo lishma, it is forbidden to sprinkle the blood of that korban with a lo lishma mindset, with an incorrect mindset. Now, why is that? One might say that, listen, once I started it shelo lishma, and once I tell you that the owner does not fulfill his sacrificial obligation, then, well, you know, let's just continue doing it shelo lishma. What have I got to lose, so to speak? So we say one is not allowed to think like that. E boyesem asvara, if you like, I can give you a piece of logic to explain this position. E boyesem akra, or if you prefer, I can cite a pasuk to back this up. Now the Gemara explains. E boyesem asvara, mishum deshani ba, just because one changed a little bit, kol hani lishni ba velezel, does that mean that you should continue changing? In other words, if something was done improper, we say, logic says, okay, that was done improper, one shouldn't continue ruining it. Iboy esem okro, we can offer a pasuk to sustain this approach, that if you ruined a little, don't continue ruining it. The pasuk says, moitza svasecha tishmor v'yosisa kasher nadarta, Lashem Elokecha Nidava V'chulei. When looking at this pasuk, the pasuk says that one should heed or keep that which he uttered. In other words, if a person vowed to bring a sacrifice, one should heed his words. And the pasuk says, V'asisa Kasher Nadarta, you shall do as you vowed. Lashem Elokecha Nidava. These words, neder and nidava, have a common point to them, and that is they involve obligations that a person accepts upon himself. However, there is a distinction between the two of them. A neder is a type of obligation that one accepts upon himself that carries with it a sense of guarantee or responsibility. Namely, if a person accepted upon himself to as a neder to bring a korban shlamim, and something goes wrong with the korban, he has to replace it. There is what we call achrayas, a guarantee that's built into a neder type obligation. In accepting upon oneself a neder, the terminology would be hare olai lahovi korban shlamim. The word olai, we'll see later in subsequent sugis, olai is a situ, it means it is upon me, namely that if I don't fulfill it, it's still, the obligation is still upon me to carry it out, an obligation that rests upon the human being, the person. There's another form of obligation called a nedava. That's a situation where a person specifies an animal as a particular korban. He specifies the animal, but does not thereby obligate himself to guarantee its bringing in the event that something goes wrong. For example, if a person would say hare, he would point to an animal, and he would say hare zu korban shlomim. He would designate a specific animal. Hare zu is an expression that's different than the expression we mentioned before, hare olai. Hare zu is a designation of the animal and not a personal obligation. And therefore, if something happens to that specified animal, that's it. He doesn't have to replace it. So with all of that in mind, we look at this pasuk and it's a bit odd. The pasuk says a person is supposed to heed his words, and it says, and he shall do v'asisa kasher nodarta l'ashem elokecha nidava. So the Gemara asks, hi nidava? The Gemara asks in wonderment. The end of the pasuk that's cited here in the Gemara declares that this is a nedava, but it wasn't a nedava. Neder hu. It was a neder. The pasuk said beforehand, it said, V'asisa kasher nodartu, and you shall do as you were no dare. And we pointed out in our introduction to this section that a neder is something different than a nedava. Ella, so what's the understanding? Im kemo shenodarto asisa. If you carried out all of the steps of the korban as you originally obligated yourself, yehei neder, then you have a fulfillment of your obligation. Let's say that again. If you did everything as you were supposed to do, you did it all lishma, then you have fulfilled your choiva, your obligation. Ve'im loy, if you didn't do it lishma, nedava yehei, so let it be considered a nedava. Unedava mi shori lishnuye ba? And if you brought an actual nedava, is that something that one is allowed to change? Of course not. So we see from this the idea that was expressed by Rava, that even though you started off with a low lishma mindset, that does not give you license to continue doing it shelo lishma. Omar le Ravina le Rav Papa. Ravina tells Rav Papa lo havis gabon b'urta b'tchuma. It's unfortunate that you were not with us. That's havis gabon. You were not with us in the Tchum. The Tchum is an area that has ramifications for Hilchas Shabbos, that a person is not allowed to go beyond a city's limits, a settled area. One cannot go beyond it 2,000 amos. So he's saying that it's a shame you were not with us in the Tchum, or more specifically, that you were not actually with us last night. Bei Charmoch, in the place, it's the name of a place, Bei Charmoch. So you were not in the Tchum of Bei Charmoch last night when we were involved with a very interesting Torah discussion. The story takes place on a Friday night, and Ravina is telling Rav Papa that it's a shame you were not with us that last night, for Friday night. what happened? The Rami Rava Mili Ma'al Yaso Ahadadi Vishoni Lahu. Rava raised contradictions and answered them. So he asks, "My Mili Ma'al Yaso, what were the wonderful ideas? What was the interesting discussion about?" Before we go further, we have a rather dramatic structure to note as far as the Gemara is concerned. Our Mivneh note on the outside margin indicates that this goes until Gimel Amud Beis, so that the symbols that you will see now, primarily the use of the bow ties, this will last until Gimel Amud Beis. The bow tie is going to surround an expression Rami. Rami means raising a contradiction. So as you scan ahead in the Gemara, you will notice a bow tie both in the Gemara text itself around the word Rami, and in the space to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara, you'll notice a bow tie with a Roman numeral number 1 in it. So as you scan down this page, Beis Amud Beis, you won't see another bow tie with a number in it. However, if you have available Gimel Amud Aleph, you can glance over there and you'll notice a bow-tied Roman number 2. At that point, there's another issue that Rava raises. In addition to the Roman numerals with these bow ties, you'll see right under it a little Aleph. The Aleph indicates that this is the first of the contradictions that Rava raises. We're going to see actually 5 contradiction presentations. 3 of them are brought to you by Rava. The 4th and 5th one, which will appear on Gimel Amud Beis, are not brought to you by Rava. They're not raised by Rava, but by other Rabbonim. So as you look ahead on Gimel Amud Aleph, you see a Roman numeral number 2 and a bow tie, once again to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, a little less than halfway down, and there's a little beis that accompanies that. That indicates it's the second Rava contradiction raising, and a Roman number three, a few lines later, with a little gimel under it. That indicates it's the third Rava contradiction presentation. If you can continue over till Daf Gimel Amud Beis, you'll notice a bow tie almost halfway down the page, and also to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you can see that Roman number 4 in the bow tie. In the text itself, we've enclosed the word Rami, the word indicating contradiction. In that case, the Gemara says it's Rav Yosef Bar Ami, Rami. He raises a contradiction. And a 5th contradiction raising will be done by Rav Chaviva, lower down the page on Gimel Amud Beis. So, as you scan this sugya, starting from here on Beis Amud Beis, from this point till Gimel Amud Beis, the general structure will be one of raising contradictions in various topics and the resolution of those contradictions. As we focus in on Beis Amud Beis, the upper part of the page, we have that first bow tie that represents a question that Rava will raise. The Gemara will then raise the contradiction, and when you see a diamond appearing a bit later, the diamonds in this sugya represent attempts to answer. That's what we've written in on our Mivneh note on the outside margin. The diamond, you can see, umishani, and an answer. So that what we will see here, between the bow tie is the raising of the question, and the diamonds represent the answers. That's haloas kushos umatan shuvos, the raising of questions and the answering, the responses to them. Let's continue in our note on the outside margin, nose. We've given this a topic heading. We call this nose shell number 1, the topic of Roman numeral number 1. This method of presenting the topic headings will be applied till we get to number 5 or on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. whereby we'll present the topic heading that is appropriate for each one of the contradictions that are raised. So the topic of Roman numeral 1 is as follows. Zvochim shenishchatu stam kshirim. That's a case of a korban slaughtered with a neutral mindset. In other words, he is not focused on the specific korban at hand, but on the other hand, he doesn't have an incorrect korban in mind either. So we'll call this neutral, or the Gemara refers to it as a stam mindset. So even though it's lacking the focus on the specific korban that he is processing, there's a declaration here that it's kshirim, that's okay. If you have a neutral mindset, it's okay. Then the Gemara, in raising a contradiction, we're currently analyzing the status of a neutral mindset. The issue of mindset is relevant to sacrifices and has applications to other realms of halacha as well. In this case, we're going to be talking about the realm of the writing of a divorce document, the preparation of a get isha. The pasuk in the Torah says, "V'kosav lo sefer krisus," and it's darshaned, it's explained that the word law means lishma, that the ideal way of preparing a divorce document is when preparing it and filling in the details that are specific to a particular couple, one has that couple in mind. He writes it with the woman who's being divorced, with her in mind. If a divorce document is prepared with the wrong woman in mind, that would be considered a get that's written shaloi lishma. What is the status of a get that is done with a neutral mindset? In other words, not with this specific woman in mind, the woman who's being divorced, but on the other hand, not with the wrong woman in mind either. So in the realm of gittin, that's what our note goes on to say, get isha shenichtevo stam, namely, shelo nichtav l'shem ishazu, it wasn't written with this particular woman who's being divorced in mind, the Gemara will tell us, puzzle. So we have a contradiction in how to categorize, how to rule when it comes to neutral mindsets. In the realm of sacrifice, neutral mindset is kosher. In the realm of divorce document preparation, neutral mindset is puzzle, is unfit. As we go further in the Gemara, we have some more geometric observations. We'll have a double underline, which is another one of our series markings, and we can see the Mivneh note here, the structural note as accompanies this particular section. There's a double underline that will be under the words Tnan and Viraminhi. These are Shnei Mekoros Sheniroi Soisrois. Two sources will be presented that appear to be contradictory, Be'inyin Hagdoras Stam, with regard to the classification of the neutral mindset. In our note, we have an Aleph through Gimel that's noted here. Those are references to Rava's participation in this sugya of raising contradictions. As we mentioned on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, there will be other rabbis that raise contradictions in their topics as well. Let's now turn to the Gemara, and when we get to additional geometric forms, we'll take note of them as well. So Ravina is telling Rav Papa that you missed out on the intriguing Torah discussion. What happened there? Derami Rava Milim Al Yisa Adadi Vishani Lahu. Rava had raised Milim Al Yisa, intriguing Torah comments, and raised them as contradictions one on the other. Vishani Luwen answered them. My Mili Malyasa, so what were those intriguing ideas? Tanan. On the one hand, we have the following source. Before we go further, let's just note to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, we have Rava's name written in and encircled with a vertical dashed line. This indicates that all of the lines of Gemara that are parallel to this vertical dashed line form Rava's presentation, whereby Rava presented the contradiction. So this is a long marking indicating the Rava's presenting the contradiction and his answering it. That you'll see because there's a diamond that appears a few lines later where around the word Vishani, and we indicated earlier that the diamonds in this sukya will be around the points at which the contradiction is resolved. So this forms Rava's speech, if you will. Turning to the Gemara, Tanan, notice the double underline, and we'll contrast this with the word Viramini a few lines later where the contradiction is presented. So Tanan, here we present the source, Kol HaZvachim Shenizbuchu Shelo Lishmon. It's in fact our Mishnah, and in the Gemara marking system, framed sections represent Tanaic quotes, whether they be from Mishnayos or Brises. The quote that the Gemara brings from our Mishnah indicates that by slaughtering a korban shelo lishma, it sounds that he did it, he was oiker the shame. In other words, he uprooted the proper identity of the korban. He took an example, he was slaughtering a korban shlamim, and he, while he was doing it, while he was slaughtering, he had in mind a different korban, which is wrong. He had in mind the korban ola. The Mishnah said that it's kosher, but lo olu lebailin l'shem choivah. But the bailin, the owner, doesn't fulfill his original obligation. Taimo de shelo lishmon. Why is it that the bailin, that the owner, does not fulfill his obligation? That's because de shelo lishmon. He uprooted the name. He took a korban shlomim, where the original owner had obligated himself to bring a korban shlomim, and the animal, the sacrifice, was processed as if it were with the mindset of an ola. But we can infer from this that the whole reason that the owner does not fulfill his original obligation is because it was done with the wrong mindset. Ha stama, but we can infer that if it were done with a neutral mindset, which is a better situation, olu nami lebailim l'shem chova, the owner would in fact have fulfilled his original obligation. Once again, if a korban shlomim was what the owner obligated himself to bring, and it was then slaughtered with a neutral mindset, namely the slaughtering was lacking a focus on shlomim, but it was also not focused on anything else. We see from here, from that which is implied or inferred from the Mishnah, that a stam mindset is worthy of actual fulfillment of original obligation. Alma stam onami kilishmon domi. Our conclusion would be that the neutral mindset is as if it were done lishma, as if it were done with the proper, with the desired mindset, namely the focused mindset. We've used a dashed underline to highlight this expression, stamo nami kilishmon. We'll want to contrast this with what we see a couple lines later. Even if you skip now, you can see where a conclusion is reached from the topic of Gittin, that stamo is nami posel. That's in contrast with this. Continuing in the Gemara, Viramini, after having established that stam is kilishmon, that the neutral is as if it were positive, then we have a contradiction. Kol haget shenichtav sheloi l'shem isha. The expression of sheloi l'shem isha can be paralleled with the expression we had before of the zvachim that were nizbechu sheloi l'shmon. Here, a get, a divorce document is written, shelo l'shem isha. And the Mishnah there says, pasul. The Mishnah Gittin says that the get that is done, shelo l'shma, is pasul. Ustamo nami pasul. Rashi points out, ustamo nami pasul, namely a neutral mindset is also pasul, kagoin im kosvoi hasofer stam, l'shem leo. If a sofer was writing a get and he wrote in the name Leah, shehei mezumon, that it should be available l'chshiyavu odom etzlo sheshmo v'shem ishto, kein, that this get will be available for sometime in the future that a couple comes in front of me and the woman's name is Leah. Here I have a get with the name Leah written in. Vietnenu lo. And the sofer, the scribe, will be able to present it to them. Ulekamen meforsh menolan mimasis de stamposel. Later, the Gemara's job will be to establish how do we know that stam is posel. Right now, we're going to have to work with this as an assumption. Even though, when dealing with the zvachim, we were able to conclude stamo is considered lishmo through inference, here, with regard to get, we're not working with that right away. We're going to be presenting this right now as a given, that the get isha done shalolish done stam is also posel. Vishani, Rava answers, what's the issue again? Stam by zvachim is kosher, stam by get is posel. Vishani, Rava resolves, zvachim bestam lishmon omdin. Your basic sacrifice is there for the purpose of being done for what it is designed for. Isha bestama, but your basic woman, basic married woman, lovely gerushin omedes, she's not there to be divorced. Divorce is a contingency situation where nothing else works out, so the couple part, they part their ways through divorce. We'll call it a form of last resort. But in general, a married woman is not there, she's not married in order to be divorced. A sacrifice is dedicated in order to be done lishmo. So the way we view the stam of each one is quite different. The stam zevach, your standard korban, is there to be done lishmo. Therefore, we don't hesitate to categorize stam as if it were lishmo. Your basic married woman is not there to be divorced. Therefore, the stam, the neutral case in preparing a get, is not viewed as if it were done lishmo, and therefore it's posel. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new shape. In this case, it's a double underline with dots in it, and we also encounter triangles. These are forms we haven't seen till now, as far as in use in this particular sugya. We look at the side, the mivneh. The double underline with dots in it highlights, number one, we see zvochim bestamok sherin minolan. At this point, the Gemara will be looking into how do you know that the neutral mindset of a korban is okay. From where do we know that information? And number two, if you skim down the page, you'll see get the stamo posel minolan. From where do we know that the neutral mindset in the case of get, from where do we know that that is unfit? As we continue with the Gemara, we'll also notice triangles with the tip pointing up, nisyonos lahoychiach dinim elu. These will be attempts to prove whatever we highlighted with the double underline. And with the inverted triangle, when that appears, those are dechios, those are rejections of whatever was attempted, whatever was said. At this point, then, we embark on our quest to reveal how do we know that the stam zevach is kosher. In the Gemara, uzvochem bestamo ksherin minolan. From where do we know that the neutral mindset in the slaughtering of a sacrifice is acceptable, is kosher? Ilemo meha desnan. If you think it is from the following. The Mishnah says, "Kol hazvochem shenizbechu sheloi lishmon v'chulei." And as we said earlier, one might think that this is telling you that a korban that is slaughtered with an uprooted name. In other words, he has a shlomim in front of him. He uproots it in his mind, and he says he's doing it as an olah. So if you're going to say that from the phrasing of the Mishnah that says it was shenizvichu shelo lishmon veloi kotani, and the Mishnah does not say sheloi nizbichu lishmon, the Mishnah doesn't present it in this fashion, namely lacking the positive. The way the Mishnah does say it, it says it was done in the negative. From that, we want to conclude that if it weren't done in the negative, it's okay. From the choice of words, we're coming to this conclusion. And had it said something else, then we wouldn't have come to this conclusion. Well, let's analyze this further, Gabi. If that's your basis of coming to the conclusion that that neutral mindset is okay, well, if that's the case, then we should have come to the same conclusion with regard to a get. Gabi get nami hokotani. It says, kol haget shenichtav shelo l'shem isha puzzle. That's mashma, that it was written with a different woman in mind. And that's why it's puzzle. Velo katani, and it doesn't say by get, sheloi nichtav l'shem isha puzzle. So what we have in fact is the same grammatical structure by zvochim and by get. And yet by zvochim, stam is kosher. And by get, stam is puzzle. So we cannot say that from the grammatic structure of our Mishnah that we are able to conclude that stam would be kosher. Elo meha disnan ketzad. This is a Tanaic source featuring someone who is offering a korban pesach, and the Mishnah there says that if one mixes mindsets while processing the korban, it is posel. The korban is unfit, and it says ketzad. Ketzad lishmon v'shelo lishmon. What's an example of starting off with a proper mindset and then lapsing into an incorrect mindset, which is posel? The example would be that if he's, while he's slaughtering it, he does it l'shem pesach u'l'shem shlomim. He starts off with the right mindset. He does it l'shem pesach, and then what makes it posel? He says a different korban. Taimo de Omar l'shem pesach u'l'shem shlomim. Why is it puzzle? Because he said not only the correct one, he said the incorrect one. Ha l'shem pesach u'stama kosher. So, but we can infer that if he did it with the proper mindset at the outset, at the beginning, and then lapsed into a neutral mindset, it would be okay. Alma stamon kilishmon domi. We can infer from this. And you notice how we've emphasized with our dashed underline, in fact, this conclusion that stam would be kosher. Once again, that the only time it's considered unfit is if he had mixed into the processing the wrong mindset, an opposite mindset, the mindset of a different sacrifice. However, if he had continued the processing with a neutral mindset, that would have been okay. The Gemara rejects this as a conclusion for the general classification of stam. Dilma shiny hosam, it could be that that case is different, namely the case where he started off l'shem pesach and then lapsed into a neutral mindset. That's a better scenario than in general. The Omar, we would say about that case, kola oise aldas rishoina hu oise, that when one is involved with a multiple stage procedure, the subsequent stages are based on the original mindset. However, if you have someone approaching something without an original correct mindset, but rather he starts off something with a neutral mindset, that I wouldn't be able to say is kosher. Maybe that would be puzzle. And we are looking for a case where someone starts off with a neutral mindset, or his, we can say his entire mindset is neutral. Not a case where he starts off with a correct, a positive mindset, and then lapses into a neutral mode. Elo misefa. So let's try to answer the question of minolanim. From where do we know that stam is kosher? From the second, from the latter section of that source that we just cited with regard to a korban pesach. Shelo lishmon ulishmon. What's an example of shelo lishmon and lishmon that is posel? That's a case where he does his korban pesach l'shem shlomim u'l'shem pesach. He starts off with the incorrect mindset, and then he lapses into the correct mindset. We say that that's unfit. Taimo, the omar l'shem shlomim u'l'shem pesach. The reason that it's posel is because he included in his processing the incorrect intention. However, if he opened up with a neutral mindset and then continued with the correct mindset, that would be okay. So maybe we can conclude from here that where one opens up with a neutral mindset, it's kosher. And then we would be able to answer our question that from this Mishnah concerning the Korban Pesach, we see that stam is lishmo, from the inference from this Mishnah. The Gemara rejects. Dilma, and we've indicated a number one here because there'll be two rejections, two possible methods of rejecting this proof. The Dilma Shaini Hasam, the Omar, there it might be different because we can apply another principle, Yochiach Soifoi Al Tchiloso, that we would let the conclusion bear light on the beginning. Namely, that if he concludes with a correct mindset, that sheds light on the earlier stage. Now, this idea of Yochiach Sofa Atchiloso can be applied to a situation where you're dealing with a multiple stage event. However, if you're focusing on a process or a situation which doesn't involve multiple stages, or where the entire process is done with one mindset, not like the case we just had where there was a change in mindset, but where it's a constant neutral mindset, that I don't know. That I could not conclude that that's kosher. I wouldn't be able to conclude that from the case that we just saw by the Pesach where he did it stam and then l'shem Pesach. Inami, another rejection of the seifa as serving as proof is as follows. Aidi detona lishmon v'shelo lishmon, since that very same Tanaic source taught the case of lishmon and shelo lishmon, namely that was the section that was cited under triangle number 2, therefore it felt obligated tonanami shelo lishmon lishmon. Therefore in the source cited in triangle number 3, it taught a similar situation with simply reversing the mindset, namely starting off shelo lishmon and then lishmon. But it's not taught for the sake of inference. Therefore, according to this second rejection, we're going to teach you the case of shelo lishmon and lishmon simply because we taught lishmon and shelo lishmon, and I'm not teaching you the case of shelo lishmon and lishmon to infer from that the case of stam and lishmon. Ela meha, number 4, the fourth attempt now to find how do we know that stam would be okay. Ela meha, we have a Tanaic source that starts here, it lasts a few lines, you can see it's all in a frame. L'shem shisha dvorim hazevach nizbach. There are 6 elements that one should have in mind when he is sacrificing a korban. The source presents the list of items. L'shem zevach, he should have in mind the identity of the sacrifice for which this was designated. L'shem zoveach, he should have in mind the owner, the one who is bringing it, and not have in mind someone else. L'shem Hashem, should also have in mind that it's done for the sake or for the will of God. L'shem Ishim, he's doing it for the purpose of offering it up on the fire. Ishim is the plural word Eish, on the fire of the Mizbeach, and not for the sake of simply roasting it, but rather for the sake of offering it on the fire. L'shem Reach. Rashi explains this is to the exclusion of the offering of limbs that were roasted prior to their being brought on the Mizbeach, so that the korban is being done, is being processed with the intention of offering the limbs as raw and then and immediately putting them on the fire and not roasting them beforehand. L'shem Nichoyach. Rashi explains L'shem Hanochas Ruach LeKodesh Baruch Hu, for the sake of appeasing or placing the Almighty's mind at ease or in pleasantry. Of course, these are very lofty ideas, but for the sake of translation, that will suffice. So we've indicated there are six types of mindset a person should have when he is, six elements he should have in mind while he's slaughtering the korban. V'hachatos v'osham, if the korban that's being processed is specifically a chatas or osham korban, then l'shem chet. He should also have in mind that it is being brought, for the violation of a particular sin. Amar Rav Yosi, af mi shelo hoya beliboy l'shem achas mikol elu. This is actually the important part of our of bringing in this source. Rav Yosi says that if one who did not have in mind these things, he did not have any of these things specifically in mind, rather it is done in it with a neutral mindset, kosher, it's okay, the korban is still viewed as acceptable. Shetnai based in who? It's a condition that based in instituted that korbanos should be slaughtered stam, they should be slaughtered with a neutral mindset. So we're now, Masbir will now explain that which we just learned. Asnu, Bezdin made a condition, the lo lemo lishmoi, that a person should do it specifically, he should do it with a neutral mindset and not do it lishmo. He shouldn't have the specific, he shouldn't announce the proper korban that he is processing, because if a person were expected to declare the specific korban that he's processing, we're afraid he might slip and say the wrong one. So that if we're insisting on his, if we're insisting on his saying that the right thing, he might come to say the wrong thing. Therefore, we take a safe approach and just say, process it with a neutral mindset. Don't have anything in mind. If one were to think that stam by sacrifices, by korbanos, is unfit, how could this be? Would Beisdin arise and establish something that would lead to its ruination? Of course not. So if Beisdin instituted that one should slaughter korbanos with a neutral mindset, it must be that a neutral mindset is kosher. Vigabi get the stam apostle minolon. Well, now turning to the issue of divorce documents, that we said that a divorce document that's processed with a neutral mindset ruins it. From where do we know that? And once again, as you can see with the geometric forms, we'll present possibilities, we'll present suggestions, and then that's with the triangle pointing up, and then a rejection with the triangle flipped over. This preoccupation with get being stam posel will preoccupy the Gemara till Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, about 2/5 of the way down from the top. E lema, let's read that line again. Gabi get the stam posel minol, and from where do we know that the neutral mindset in a get preparation is unacceptable? If you think it's from the following teaching, the following Mishnah. The Mishnah describes someone passing through on a street and he hears scribes preparing documents. He's on the going through the marketplace or the on a street, a road. He hears scribes that are calling out, Ish ploni gireish plonis, mimokom ploni. so-and-so is divorcing his wife so-and-so from a so-and-so place. The Omar Zeshmi Vizeshem Ishti. And he told us that this is his name and this is his wife's name. Posel Lagarish Boy. At this point, what we think is happening is that there's some location in which Gitin are being, divorce documents are being prepared, and they are preparing Gitin ahead of time and making them available. They are, in other words, these are Gitin that are being prepared ahead of time without a specific couple in mind, but rather preparing names that are commonly found in the public, and when such a couple comes around, so the get will be available. This would be an example of a get that's written stam, in other words, not with a specific couple in mind. And the Mishnah that we just learned says it's puzzle, it cannot be used. The Gemara rejects this and says that this scenario is lacking another important element. Not just that it's lacking the lishma element, dilma kidrav papa. Maybe the understanding of this source is like Rav Papa explains, the Omar Rav Papa, hocha besoifrim hu asuyin lislamed askinon. This source is describing a school of scribes that they are assembled for the purpose of learning how to write documents, how to write divorce documents. V'lo ichtuv l'shum krisus klal. And what they're practicing on, they were practicing on documents that were not being written for the purpose of divorce whatsoever. They were simply, like we sometimes use the term, scratch paper. They were simply writing things with practice intentions alone, without any intention that these things that they're practicing on would be used for divorce whatsoever. However, we could say that if they were preparing documents that they were with the intention that these would be used for a divorce sometime in the future, even though it wasn't written with a specific couple in mind, that would be okay. So we cannot conclude from this source that started with the words Hoya Oiver Bashuk, we cannot conclude from this source that a neutral mindset, neutral with regard to a couple, lacking in mind a specific couple, that would necessarily be problematic. It could be, we're just repeating our words, it could be that if names were written into a get, even though those names did not represent a specific couple, they were just common names, but the document was written with the mindset of it eventually being used as a divorce document, that would be okay. In other words, stam kosher. And yet, we've declared that stam gitten are puzzle. So where do we know that from? Ela meha. At this point, we're going to continue and spill over onto Gimel Amud Aleph in order to complete this particular idea of get stam apostle minolan. So where do we know that from? Ela meha, from the Mishnah in Gittin. It says Yeser al Kain. Furthermore, Kosav legarish es ishto v'nimlach. Person wrote a get with the intention of having divorcing his wife. Nimlach, and then he changed his mind not to divorce her. Motsoi ben Iroi, someone from the same town, met up with this guy who started writing a get, who wrote a get, but then changed his mind after he finished writing the get. So someone from the same town met up with him. The Omar lo, Shmi kishimcha v'shem ishti kishem ishtecha. My name is the same as your name. My wife's name is the same as your wife's name. And as far as the city that you wrote in, it's the same city. I live in the same town. And the Mishnah there says, Posel Legaresh Boi. So, what do we see from here? That as far as the second fellow is concerned, it wasn't written specifically with him in mind. It's Posel. So that we see from here, a get that is done stam is not acceptable. The Gemara rejects this. Dilma shiny hasam. This case might be worse than a stam case. The intik le l'shem gerushin dahu. The reason that this get is no good for the second fellow is because it was intik. It was designated for the first couple. However, if it were done without a specific designation, maybe it would be okay. Maybe if a get were done stam, if we prepared stam, it would be all right. So we don't see stam posel from this case. Ella meha. Let's try this case. This is a case where one man has two wives. Yeser al kain. Furthermore, this is a build-up on the case just cited before, as far as the Mishnayos are concerned. It says, Yesh loy shtei noshim shishmoyseim shavos. A man has two wives. They happen to have the same names. Kosav ligaresh es hagdoyla, loy yigaresh boy es haktana. If he wrote it with the intention of divorcing the elder of the two wives, he cannot use it for divorcing the younger of the two wives. So what do we see from here? We see that since it was not done lishma, it wasn't done with the younger wife in mind specifically, it would be no good. So that if a get is lacking lishma, if it were done stam, as we mentioned already, is lacking lishma, it's not done with the specific positive thing in mind, it would not be fit. The Gemara rejects this as well. Dilma, shiny hasam, the case we just cited with the one man that has two wives, is not a proof of stam. The intik lay l'shem gerushin dahi, because this document was designated for the purpose of the divorce of the older of the two wives. And because of this designation, it's not fit to be used for the other wife. However, if a get were written stam, maybe it would be okay. Elo meha. Yeser al kain. Furthermore, Omar le lablor, ksov. He says to a lablor, a scribe, a man who has intention of divorcing one of his wives. He has two wives, they have the same names. And he says, ksov, write a get with this woman's name in it. The woman, in this case, we're talking about a man that has two wives with the same name. So write the man's name and the woman's name. Ule'eza she'erza agaresh, and the one that I decide later on, I will use it to divorce her. In other words, as the get is being prepared, the husband hasn't decided which wife he wants to divorce. He says he'll decide later on. Posel legaresh bo. This is not acceptable to be used as a divorce document. Now, in this case, we don't have a situation of it having been designated. He didn't know which wife at the time of its being written he intended to divorce. So there wasn't any specific designation of a woman, and yet it's no good. So we want to draw a parallel between this case and the case of stam. The Gemara rejects this as well. Dilma shiny hasam, the ain breira. There, it's different because of the institution of retroactive designation, and that we're saying that it could very well be that the problem there is that he had no one in mind while it was being written. The clarification was going to take place only later, which was going to operate retroactively to the time that it was being written. Rashi, the fourth line from the top, says, D'ein breira, because we hold that retroactive designation is an ineffective method. Ugria, and this is worse, mistama. This is a worse situation, a weaker situation than stam. The shema b'shal shenichtav, lo hoya bedaito shel baal lezu veintik l'shem ho'acheres. It could be that this get that was being written and he told us he'll decide later on, it could be that while it was being written he had in mind one of them, and later on he decides it for the other. Rashi is saying something, if we read it very carefully, it's saying that while it was being written, he did not have in mind the woman that he eventually decides upon. And because he didn't have her in mind, it's ve'intik l'shem ha'acheres. It becomes designated for the other one. So that we see from the Rashi that when dealing with this issue of breira, there enters the problem of incorrect designation. The issue of incorrect designation presents a more serious problem than a get that is written with a neutral mindset. Elo, continuing in the Gemara, meha. From the following, we are going to see that get stam is puzzle. Hakosev toifse gitin. One who is writing divorce documents, he's writing the standard form. The standard form means the language of a divorce document that you find in all divorce documents, namely those sections other than the name, the names of the couple and the name of the town and the date. So the tofsei gittin are being written here. So when one is preparing the form, the get forms, tzorach sheniach mokom ho'ish u'mokom ho'ish, you're supposed to leave blank the names u'mokom ho'edim and the place on which the witnesses sign. Don't fill in names over there. U'mokom hazman, and the place that the date is supposed to be filled in. Leave that blank. The Omar of Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, af tzorach sheniach mokom. Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel says he's also supposed to leave blank the expression that you find in all divorce documents, hare at muteres l'chol odom. That is supposed to be left blank as well. Rashi points out, mokoim hare at, dezeu ikur gufo. This is the main phrase, the main language of a divorce document. So you're supposed to leave that blank. Almo stam apostle. We see from here that a neutral mindset would render the get unfit. The afal gav the ichtiv l'shem krisus l'chishizdamilo. Even though this document was prepared for the use of divorce when it would be needed, by the fact that this standard form must be left out, harei at muteres l'cha'odam, this indicates that a neutral mindset prepared divorce document would be puzzle, would be unfit. And therefore this key phrase, Harei At Muteres L'Chodom, is to be written in only when you have a specific couple in mind that need this for their divorce. With this, we conclude our shiur for today.